It's a Tuesday. And on Tuesdays, we are joined in studio by Lisa Roberson with the Chronicle-Telegram. Lisa's appearances are brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Jim Vandermark and Bob Vandermark, great people. I know because I've got a lot of personal experience going into the showroom. You're always very, very well taken care of. And I know for a fact when you go in there, you'll get the same treatment that I get. Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry in Elyria on East Broad Street near the hospital. Lisa, how are you?
I'm good on this rainy Tuesday.
Well, it might be a rainy Tuesday, but you had one heck of a holiday weekend. Before we get into the nuts and the bolts of the local news that we're going to dive into here in just a moment, tell everybody out there about your experience going to the Justin Timberlake concert this weekend.
It was an amazing experience. I actually won free tickets.
Nice!
Through Verizon. So we had floor. We were a stage side on the floor.
Awesome.
So yeah, we saw Justin Timberlake sweat.
Were you able to stop the feeling?
Nice job. Nice work. See, I actually had the opportunity to see some of the videos that either you or your daughter took. We're still not sure which, right?
That's right.
And the pictures too. God, you were so close. Those are really awesome seats too. So it looked like you guys had an absolute blast. I had heard a little bit about the concert. You know, LeBron showed up there towards the end too. So sounded like it was a really, really awesome time. All right. Well, I mentioned we'll get into some of the nuts and bolts. Boy, you were extraordinarily busy last week. You mentioned when you left here last week that you guys were a little bit short-staffed with people going on vacation. So you covered just a little bit of everything last week.
Yes, I did. I was all around the county, and I'm normally just in Elyria covering Elyria things. But when one person goes to Paris and another one goes to Myrtle Beach.
How unfair.
Yes.
Well, you did get to go to a Timberlake concert, though, right? So
sure.
Yeah, not too bad.
And it was a really good concert.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Everybody goes home happy here. Well, you were able to get some video, too, of course. And I wanted to ask you about that. I think that story published a couple days after we had you on last week. And I just wanted to get your major takeaways from this course that was provided called Stop the Bleed. Or Stop the Bleeding, I believe it's called, where I thought it was fascinating because, you know, teachers, educators, administrators are taught these things that, you know, normally you would like to sit there and think, well, God, I hope I never have to apply this again. But the reality is you just never know when you might have to apply some of the things that are learned in this course. But what were some of the major takeaways from this?
Well, this course was done last Friday at the Elyria Schools Administration Building. Elyria Schools is the first district to partner with Metro Health for this program that was kind of brought about by a lot of federal agencies after the Sandy Hook shooting, and they wanted to find ways to better and equip teachers to help their students or help people in the moment of need. And so when they say stop the bleed, you know, and teachers, you may think of this is one we use in a mass shooting situation, but this is a skill that teachers can use in any situation. I mean, if you have a shop class and you have a student who hurts himself in shop class, you have to figure out a way to stop that bleeding immediately. So,
interesting stuff. No, and just looking at the video, I think it's fascinating to see how this is taught and how this is received as well. And you're right. It's not just in those situations where, you know, it seems as though all hell has broken loose. You're right. I mean, there are a lot of other situations where you feel like you probably have to do it. I mean, if a kid's outside at recess and he or she trips and falls and they get cut open, you're right. There's another situation where you need to know how to stop the bleeding dead in its tracks. I want to revisit a conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago. You know, the primary purpose in Lakota Way, how are they going to coexist? Are they going to be able to coexist? And what are some of the arguments that city council's hearing on both sides of this?
Well, coexist is probably the wrong word because there are two different agencies that provide two different services. Lakota Way is a treatment provider and Primary Purpose Center is a residential provider, is recovery housing. And actually there was a meeting today to determine whether or not the city is going to grant the Primary Purpose Center their conditional use permit. And so the city's planning commission did grant that permit, but they brought it with some conditions because there was some additional news that came out of this meeting. So apparently Lakota Way has filed a complaint against Primary Purpose with the state's Mental Health and Addiction Services Board, saying that there's been some allegations that Primary Purpose billed them for residents who were not in the facility. So Lakota Way was paying for residents that were not staying there, and there were some allegations of some improper use of the food stamp EBT card. in the primary purpose. And so primary purpose has denied all these allegations and said that Lakota Way has not given them any evidence that to support their claims. And so the city is you know, trying to, you know, mediate these two entities because they both of these entities are in the city. And so they're telling primary purpose that, you know, you have your permit, but we have some conditions. We need you to show us some documentation that these allegations are not founded. You need to show us a clean audit, and you also make sure you need to get a variance.
About how long do they get to show those things or prove those things?
Well, City Council is going to have a public hearing on this on May 12th, so they have to get the ball rolling before then.
So we got about 5 weeks,
yes.
Something like that, 5-6 weeks. All right. Again, we're talking with Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle-Telegram and our local beat with Lisa, brought to you by Vandemar Jewelers. Kind of along those same lines, we wanted to get some details on the county commissioners getting some money to turn the old Golden Acres facility into an opioid recovery center, and that's being done to help address the drug crisis. What are the details here? How much money is involved?
They received $500,000 from the state. That's in the capital budget for 2018, and it's going to allow them to kind of do some minor repairs to the building. The building's not in completely bad shape. I mean, they've had residents in this assisted living facility up until about a year and a half ago when they closed it down because it wasn't making the county any money. It was actually costing the county money, so this wasn't just it wasn't a big enough profit, so they closed it. It was just costing the county too much money to operate this facility. And so they have to do some, you know, bringing their utilities up to date to make sure they're a little bit more efficient, because there's going to be a lot of partners in this program. It's going to be kind of like a one-stop shop where you can get addiction services, you can get mental health services, and kind of get people back on the track with recovery.
Now, looking at the pictures, the exterior of the building doesn't look that bad. I thought the exterior looked okay, and there's something just different enough about it to make it appeasing when you walk by or you drive by. And I think visually it looks okay from the outside. You mentioned the facilities on the inside. Is the money that's going towards the rehabilitation mostly for the inside of this building?
Yes, mostly for the inside. We're talking, you know, your furnace, your HVAC, your electrical systems, to make sure that everything is very efficient. Because when you have all of these agencies, you know, Lakota Way, Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services of Lorain County, Lorain County Board of Mental Health, are going to be all partnering with this agency. They want to make sure that they can be as cost effective as possible in providing these services. And, you know, making sure your utilities are not too high is going to go a long way.
And about how far away are we from that facility being operational?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we're talking state money, so state doesn't just cut you a check
right.
The moment they
yeah.
say
right.
you can have it. You have all of these, you know, there's going to be tons more paperwork the state's going to want, and a lot more red tape they're going to have to go through before they can get the money. So we're talking months before this.
And then permits for all the contractors that have to go through the state, you know, be approved through the state to be a contractor. Yeah, it can take a while.
The state's not going to just cut you a $500,000 check and tell you to open your facility.
Yeah. If only it was that easy, right?
Right.
If only it was that simple. You also had a story today, which I thought was pretty fascinating. You know, the article was, we're on the anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., and you talked today about how it resonates locally, and you spoke to a number of individuals who kind of gave you an account of where they were when this happened. And I thought there were some pretty fascinating stories to be told there, and just kind of wanted to open the door here for you to give you a chance to tell some of these stories, because, you know, we always tell the incoming generation what we were doing when 9/11 hit. You know, when the big milestones in history happened, where we were, we could tell you exactly what was going on, where we were when it happened. But this is something that happened 50 years ago. And I thought it was pretty interesting to read your article today to find out how that still sticks with everybody 50 years later.
Well, then, you know, because it was 50 years ago, there's also the difficulty of finding people who are still alive who can give me these concrete memories. But with this particular moment in time, everyone remembers where they were at when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated from, you know, you have talking about a young man, Stephen Ferguson, who's now 62, who remembers being at home, you know, being on Middle Avenue playing with friends and, you know, a friend's mother coming outside and telling the news and everyone going home to their parents because he knew at that moment playtime was over and you go home. There was a lot of grief in the community. And to Janine Donaldson, who was the executive director of Elyria Lorain YWCA, who said she was in Sandusky, where she lived at the time, and she was going to meet her sister, then her sister stopped her and they went home. And she said that they were just kind of like huddled in the state of unknown, or should they be in fear of what's going to happen. And then you have Reverend Carl Smalls, who's the pastor over at Second Baptist Church, who actually had a little bit more of a connection to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. because he grew up in the Cleveland area, and his father was one of the pastors who kind of worked to bring the civil rights leader to Cleveland on a number of different occasions.
And along those same lines, there have been some talks over the last 24 hours or so about renaming Middle Avenue in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Where are we at in that process? Are we still in the very early stages of that?
The very early stages. This was the resident David Cooper who brought this to City Council. You know, he just wants to see the city find a way to remember the civil rights leader more so than the list of events that we do each January around his birthday. You know, and this is not an unusual request. There's about 600 or 700 different cities across the country that have a Martin Luther King Jr.
Sure.
Boulevard. And so this is very early because there's a lot of implications that come with changing a street name because, you know, that's your mailing address. And so you can't just change it at a whim. So the city council will look at this. You know, Councilman Marcus Madison also talked about maybe just doing it maybe in an honorary way so that the mailing addresses are not affected and there can just be a marker on the street for Middle Avenue. You know, they consider Middle Avenue the heart of the city. And so they thought maybe that would be a fitting place to put the marker.
Cool stuff. Well, we look forward to discussing that in the future to see how that progresses. We'll end this the way we always do. What do you have in the hopper for next week? Maybe I feel like your answer might be the same because I think last week you mentioned to us you were hoping to get back to the food safety issue, but
yes,
then that kind of got tabled.
I keep trying to get back there, and now, you know, with this issues with Primary Purpose Center, you know, I found out in writing about this that there's no oversight for recovery housing in Ohio. There is a peer group called Ohio Recovery Housing that looks at these agencies, but there's no actual overarching agency that gives them any kind of certification. And so, you know, I don't know. I would like to look into that a little bit about maybe with this heroin epidemic growing in our state and this recovery housing becoming a crucial part of the continuum of care, that there should probably be some kind of oversight agency that's in place that's going to be looking after all of the recovering housing programs to make sure there's some kind of standard of care.
Very good stuff. Well, we are just about out of time. Lisa, it's always a pleasure to have you in studio. Always appreciate you making time for us. We'll definitely do it again next week. And, well, you had a Vegas trip to tell us about a few weeks ago. And then you had a JT concert to tell us about this week. So I'm anxiously awaiting next week's interview to see what
My
you have in store for us.
My life is not that exciting. I'm going to have nothing else to tell you.
Well, you'll have something to tell us next Tuesday. You always do. Lisa, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.